The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, "What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward." The steward said to himself, "What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes." And he called in his master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, "How much do you owe my master?" And he replied, 100 measures of olive oil." And he said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, "And how much do you owe?" And he replied, 100 cores of wheat." And the steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. "For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who can give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's reading remind me of a story I heard this week. There was a business convention in a faraway town, and the local corporations all were going to go to this business, and they're taking the train. And so how many people are familiar with trains? And the conductors come by and punch your ticket, okay. Corporation A had 3 employees. And Corporation B had 3 employees. Corporation A, they go to the ticket store stand and buy 1 ticket for the 3 employees. Corporation B buys 3 tickets, and they watch Corporation A. And when the conductor starts coming down the line, Corporation A, they see him, and they go into the bathroom. So the conductor knocks on the door. 1 hand comes out. Conductor takes the ticket, punches the ticket, hands it back. Corporation B sees that. And they think, "Oh, that's good. We're going to try that." So tomorrow, the next day, Corporation B goes to the ticket agent, and the 3 of them, they buy 1 ticket. But Corporation A, they don't buy any tickets. Corporation B looks down the aisle, sees the conductor coming, and then they go into the bathroom, and they hear a knock on the door. 1 hand sticks out the ticket, and they never get the ticket back. Corporation B took the ticket and went in the other bathroom, waiting for the conductor. Were you able to follow that? Sometimes we get the wrong idea that in the business world, anything goes. anything that makes the corporation successful. We have to keep up with the competition. Whatever they're doing, we have to do also. We got to increase the bottom line, even if it's not quite right, because that's just the business world. Matter of fact, we even admire people and corporations that make it big, even and tend to overlook, even if they did it in ways that are less than admirable. Jesus is pointing to this in this parable today. And the lessons that Jesus is trying to tell us, and that the first reading from the prophet Amos, is a very simple message that God notices. And God is not simply a God of our private life, that we're nice to people, we go to church, but then when we enter the corporate world or our regular life, we leave God at the door, we leave our values at the door. This first reading, especially from the prophet Amos, God is speaking and observing his people and saying, you guys in the business place are cheating, and it matters to me. And so I know, I've worked a little bit, that sometimes we are tempted to do things that we shouldn't and know we shouldn't do. But God is challenging us and inviting us today to stand for his kingdom, no matter where we are. And yes, we may suffer consequences. Sometimes we're afraid that we won't get that promotion, we won't get more responsibility, people will make fun of us, and we may suffer consequences. But sometimes, too, we forget to realize maybe our just and good actions might cause somebody to see it a different way and might change the institution, too. Because Catholic social teaching teaches that institutions are for the building up of people. People don't exist for the institutions. And so the gospel will say, you cannot serve both God and mammon. And that sometimes can happen in the world. If we go to the job or our business and leave our values behind, we are in effect making the business, the job, the money, our God. First reading from Amos also talks about how people on the Sabbath are thinking about their business, even while they're in the synagogue. How many of us do that during Mass, or even if sometimes we're even too busy to come, but our family life suffers because we're thinking about this. Our entire life is starting to be consumed by the business. And again, it becomes our God. And so Jesus is, in the Gospel of Luke, talking the entire chapter 16 about the right use of money. Prior to this, he was talking about God's great mercy and love. But one of the things that can get in the way is money and business. And Jesus is warning us that we can't serve two masters. It's either God or mammon. This parable seems really hard to understand, though, doesn't it? It seems like Jesus is condoning dishonesty. But he really isn't. He is saying that that dishonest steward is being called to account. But he's praising his ingenuity. And one of the things that is key to understanding this parable, I'd like to share with another quick story. There was a scientist, and the scientist said to God one day, God, we don't need you anymore. We've figured it all out. We can create a human being. We can put the dust together and blow life into it, and we don't need you. So God goes, oh, okay, well, let me see you do it. So the scientist starts gathering the dirt. God says, oh, stop right there. Use your own dirt. See, one of the things we humans do, and it's a temptation, is we do work hard. And when we work hard for our money, when we work hard for our success, when we study hard and do great things, sometimes we forget that it really is all a gift from God. Because God gives us every single breath. God gives us the talents we have. God gives us the time. God put us here in this particular place with much more opportunity than many other places in the world. Everything we have is a gift from God. And so in this parable, the rich man is God. And we are the stewards because everything we have comes from God, and we're to use it not for our own purposes, but for God's purposes, which includes what we need. And so God is challenging us, and then he says, who's going to trust you with dishonest wealth? What does he mean by dishonest wealth? I think what he means is just when we assume that everything we've got is ours, when it's really God's, when we forget that we're a steward, when we take it into appropriate for ourselves. And so he refers it as dishonest wealth. And he says, you know, if you're not trustworthy in little things, why would you be trustworthy in big things? What Jesus is saying is that even though it looks really big to us, the corporate world and in our lives, that's not the big business. The big business is my business. And we are called to stand for truth and goodness and right in all places in our life, in the work world, and transform the world's structure so that the kingdom of God is brought about. We're called to stand for truth because simply some people need to see that and know that there is some reason why you've got the courage to do that. One day when they're having a hard time, they may come and say to you, I see you're a person of character. How do you do that? I'm having a hard time. And then you can share to them about your faith and what God has done for you. Or sometimes in the corporation, people really need to see the right thing so that the corporation can do the right thing. And in the end, what is God's business? It's bringing people to the love of God, and it's building structures that allow people to have that freedom and that level of human existence that allows them then to come to God. So to work for justice. A society, according to Catholic social teaching, is not judged by how well off are the richest, but how well off are the poorest. Because all people are called to live at least the human standard. We're called to work for the good. And so Jesus in this parable is saying, know that there's a bigger business going on amongst your business. And be as creative and industrious about that bigger job, that bigger business, as you often are in your worldly business. And so in closing, I got one more quick story. But 20 years ago, at my first parish, I went to World Youth Day in Toronto with a youth group. It was a wonderful time. We learned and had tremendous spiritual experiences. But before I went, the pastor gave me $200 in Canadian money. Now, I want you to know I'm cheap. So I carried around this $200 of Canadian money, and I failed to really buy the kids rosaries or prayer books or pictures, things that would really help them remember the occasion. And when I got home, I still had that $200 of Canadian money. So I go to the bank to try to change in American dollars. They go, oh, we don't do that here. You got to go downtown. Well, I'm not going to go downtown. So that $200 sat on my shelf for over 10 years. And when I left the parish, I gave it to the bookkeeper. It's probably still in her drawer. If you don't use the money during the time it's meant to be used, it's worthless. And so it is with our worldly dollars. God gives us time, talent, and treasure, but it's to be used for his business. If we fail to do that, it's useless. And so you know that in our money, it says on every single dollar coin, in God we trust. You cannot serve both God and mammon. This is a worldly dollar. It's a worldly $10. And that warning or that notice, God in God we trust, it's put there by the Treasury Department, but I like to think of it as being put there by the Surgeon General, like caution. This contains something dangerous that may harm your health. If it becomes your God, it can harm your health. And so it's to be used for God's kingdom. It's to be converted into a heavenly dollar. And how do we convert worldly dollars into heavenly dollars? We use them for God's business. We give them to those who really need it. We help structures that are making the world a better place. We invest in things that promote the common good. And so I would like to convert this heavenly, there's earthly dollar into a heavenly dollar. Do something good with it for God's kingdom. Amen.